to episode 4 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week we will talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Amy, and Andy. Our topic this week is Universal Studios in Orlando. Now that the expansion of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter is complete and guests can visit Diagon Alley, we've seen a lot of interest in these parks. Many of us just returned from a research trip, so we have lots of tips for you, so let's get started. So speaking of tips, why don't we start with like our number one tip, and hopefully each of us can come up with something different. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to start with one that leads to other ones. I'll just give you that leading statement, which is stay on site at Universal Studios. I think it's really important to not only appreciate the resorts on site, but to take advantage of the benefits that they offer. I think we all know that often staying on site at a theme park can give you benefits, but I think the benefits at Universal Studios really pay off. And it's not a bad deal. There's 3 Lowe's resorts. They're high-end resorts. They're really beautiful resorts, plus the new moderate/value-priced Cabana Bay Resort, which is also super cool, if not quite as luxurious. I don't know that anyone would really feel like they're suffering at Cabana Bay. So that's my first tip, is stay on site. So Sandy, what's your tip?
My tip is if you stay on site, make sure you take advantage of your extra hour in the parks, whichever park is open to people staying on site. Because all 4 of their resorts get that perk, and it makes a huge difference. That just that extra hour when you get there and the parks are empty and you can take all your pictures and you can just kind of walk around and look at things without everybody else in the parks. It's great.
So I think we should expand on this. I'm going to call on Amy. Amy, was it worth it to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to get to Universal Studios early?
So I'm that one that is not that crazy theme park person. And I'm also not that one that loves to wake up. Like 7 is early to me, and I have to get up at 7 every day, at least 5. So when we all decided to wake up at 5:30 a.m. on site and walk to the park, I was not liking that idea until we got in there. Yeah, it was absolutely worth it. I would do it again. I would make my kids do it. I would absolutely do that.
I think
I felt we were taking, you know, the pictures we were taking with barely anybody other than the people who worked at Universal in the shot. I felt we were taking like promotional pictures.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
It was just unreal and an incredible experience. And so I can't recommend it highly enough to get there as the park opens, whichever one happens to open early. And you get that advantage by staying on site of one of the Universal properties.
I think all of us had our moment of doubt. It wasn't just Amy. I think all of us at 6 o'clock in the morning were like, did we do the right
thing? Not me. I knew. We were going to make it. I knew it.
It just seemed really early.
The look on you guys' faces as I showed up that morning and said, are you sure it's actually at 7 o'clock? I got it from 3 good sources at the FFT. Unfortunately, for my sake, I was right.
Yes, that was very early
because I wanted to be wrong in that position.
The park actually opened at 8, so we needed to be there at 7, which does. It seems very early, especially
and
when you're on
dark.
Vacation. It was dark.
It was dark out.
It wasn't just dark. It was dark, dark. It was like there was no sun. So yes, it was.
Starbucks was open. Universal was open.
Although you had to go to the Starbucks in City Walk, right? You couldn't. The one in the Lowe's Hard Rock Hotel was not open, which is where we were. So yeah, you had to go to City Walk to get anything resembling caffeine. So good thing to know. So Amy, then what is your tip?
So I kind of, can I say more than one?
I don't know. Ask Andy because he's gonna give his.
You stole my tip, Amy.
I'm sure that mine are nothing like yours because me. So one is if you can upgrade to that concierge class when you're at these resorts. How cool was it that we had this whole lounge to ourselves? Well, there were other people in the concierge class, but we had this whole lounge with a whole huge setup of vegetables and dips and crackers and hummus and desserts and wine and beer and anything we wanted for over an hour.
Yeah. It was 2 hours at least.
That was really cool.
Yeah. That was cool. And it's not just at 5 o'clock, it's like 5 to 7. I think there's different times that we couldn't take advantage of all of them.
Yeah, and remember he asked how many bottles of water we wanted? He loaded us up with bottles of water, picked our room, take to the parks. You know, that was awesome.
That is nice. That was really nice. If you're not on a meal plan, that was really nice. My second one is I'm pretty much not a theme park person because I don't ride the rides. I get sick. So my tip is just know you're going to be people watching, which is a lot of fun. And one place to do that I really enjoyed was Moe's Tavern in Springfield. That was so cool.
It was fun.
And get a Flaming Moe while you're there. Get a Flaming Moe. Just ask him what it is. It's not alcoholic. It was so fun. Yeah. The bartenders alone were cracking me up.
They looked like they walked right out of Springfield, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
They're really well cast, yes.
The blue guy looked like a cross between Moe and Barney. That guy was incredible. Casting on the Barney.
So I did not take your tips, right, Andy?
No, you didn't.
So what's yours then, Andy?
Not before somebody else.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I stayed at Cabana Bay, and of course it's the more moderate of the four resorts that are currently at Universal. And I thought it was just fantastic. It's excellent value, and it's only a 6-minute shuttle bus ride away from Universal City Walk. So if budget is a little bit of an issue for you, I can't recommend Cabana Bay highly enough. I took a lot of pictures around there, wandered around. The 50s and 60s theming, from the pool to the rooms, they're just so bright and colorful. I was just able to unleash my inner Don Draper and just pretend and feel like I was on the set of Mad Men. An extra.
Does John Draper use that Zest soap?
He used the little touches, the Zest soap. The shampoo bottles that look like something that I grew up with as a kid in Northern England. I mean, it's just, you know, all that sort of angled styling, yeah. And just the little touches. I mean, the bright orange throw pillows on the bed took me back to holiday camps in England as a kid. I mean, it's just the whole theming was just incredible. Mm-hmm. And it was just a lot of fun. And you think, oh, you're a little bit away from the other, from City Walk. It's really not that far. The buses run very, very frequently. The drivers were fantastic. They get you there safely, quickly. I got on the bus at 6 o'clock when we found out that the park opened at 7 for our early hours. And I was there at 6:06, and I was basically the first person in Universal City Walk. I had an escort from one of the security guards to make sure that I was legitimate. And I was they take that very seriously. but if you can stay at the Hard Rock or Portofino Bay, for example, then you get the express passes thrown in as part of the hotel package. And if you're a thrill ride junkie like myself and like a lot of us are, you're able to bypass the regular sort of standby lines and get right to the front of the rides and just maximize your time in the park. And that's another reason why I think it's just well worth staying on site. Plus, you're right there. The parks are so compact, unlike some other theme parks, where the parks are more spread out. The two parks at Universal are right next door to one another, and right in the middle of all that is Universal City Walk and the entertainment center and complex with, you know, bars, restaurants, nightlife.
Yeah, you know, that makes me think of another tip. Because a lot of people that are asking me about Universal now are asking because of the new Diagon mm-hmm. Alley part and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so now you have to have the park-to-park pass if you want to ride the Hogwarts Express and go between the parks, and you really want to do that. Mm-hmm. You don't want to miss that. That was so cool.
And it's a different experience going one direction than the other, too, so you don't want to do it just once. You need to go both ways.
Mm-hmm. It's not just taking a train ride, which if it was, that would be cool in and of itself. But it's the whole Harry Potter theming. You're going from the Muggle world.
Yeah, the chocolate frogs jumping around the train. Yeah. It was so cool. So cool. Yeah.
And I must say, a chill went up and down my spine when those Dementors came in. it was just, I know they're not real. At least I hope they're not. I don't think they are. Are they?
They totally are.
Mm-hmm. Well, the door was shut, so we didn't know.
They were coming after you, Andy.
In fact, that was just incredible. I mean, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, going back to what you were saying about the Cabana Bay theming, I think that they have really stepped it up a notch with the theming. And it's not just the Harry Potter stuff. The Simpsons theming is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. The Transformers theming, you know, the Minions, you know, they really have done a good job in the last, I don't know how many years, but it was fun. It was a really good time. I think it's definitely worth a trip in and of itself.
I think as a book nerd, I think one of those things that we always talk about is, you know, I want to step into my favorite book. Mm-hmm. And Harry Potter has come to mean a lot of things to a lot of people. But and honestly, I'm a Disney girl. I love Disney. And every time I walk into the Magic Kingdom, I see the castle and I get a little choked up. I cried when I came around that brick wall and saw Diagon Alley because honestly, there is nothing like stepping into that book that you read and you knew you could never step into that always seemed so real, but wasn't real enough. Mm-hmm. And no matter how many Harry Potter tours you go on, and there's a great one in London where you can do the Harry Potter tours, studio tour, where you can see a lot of the set pieces and things like that. And it's really extraordinary. And you can go to King's Cross Station in London, but there are now signs for platform 9 3/4, but you can't actually pass through the wall. which you can do at Universal Studios.
You know, and the people that work there and the costuming of the people that work there is just, you're just immersed. It's really good. Mm-hmm. It's really good.
If you guys recall, though, as we were coming back into King's Cross Station again after we'd been onto the other park and come back, mm-hmm. and I said, you know, this is a really authentic, you know, take mm-hmm. on King's Cross Station. All that's missing is a busker. And then we took about 5 more steps, and sure enough, there was a bus going.
A good one at that.
That is that attention to detail I wasn't quite ready for. I probably should have been because of what we'd seen prior to that.
Yeah.
But that's just those little details that really sort of make the whole experience what it is.
And don't think that Nocturne Alley is going to be candy coated either, because there were some really creepy cast members in Nocturne Alley. I mean, that was definitely, it was... Yeah, it was very realistic. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Glad I didn't get talked into going to Halloween Horror Nights. That's all I can say. Would have been scary.
Well, we actually missed that. We got up there and stuck with that. So you dodged that one.
So, Amy, let's talk about Moe's Tavern. What did you think?
That was so cool. When you walk in, there's the Simpsons TV shows. These bartenders look like they stepped right out of the cartoon. Really, that had to be why they were hired. They looked like, they talked like, the mannerisms were just like the Simpsons. Like the Simpsons. It was so friendly. It was really cool. I didn't eat there. I think at that point I was just drinking some Sprite. There is a tavern. And that Flaming Moe's thing, that was too cool. I took some video of that. And that's non-alcoholic, so your kids can drink that.
Yeah,
none of us actually tried it,
did we? Did any of us try the Flamingo?
It was like an orange soda.
Yeah, something like that. An orange soda, I think.
I recall it being quite pricey. It was much more expensive than any of the alcoholic drinks.
Well, you get to keep the glass.
I had a Duff beer. So,
And that was actually something that's really nice to see in theme parks, which you don't normally see is craft beer coming into theme parks. And, you know, Andy and I are sort of craft beer nerds and probably Andy more so than I am. And it's Florida Brewing Company, which is out of Cape Canaveral. So it's local beer and they brew it just for and there's a light and then a regular. Neither one was very heavy, but they were. I didn't have the light. Did you try the light, Andy?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, we just had the regular. Did you try
the regular?
They also provide the beers for the Three Broomsticks.
Yes.
The Wizard's Brew and what's the other? I can't remember the name.
I don't know. The Wizard's Brew was really good. That was the stout, right?
Yeah, that was the stout.
Yeah.
And I think it was the Dragons something. That was a pale ale that was very, very good. So it's just nice that they are sort of not just serving the staples that you traditionally come to expect at a theme park, but they are sort of bringing things that are more local and you know, interesting tastes and flavors.
It is nice because there's probably a great deal of sponsorship to be had by, you know, slapping the Duff label on a mainline beer. And they chose not to do that for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. It could be that Florida Brewing is paying them a lot of money. I don't know. But
no, I think it's cool. But that they went local. Yeah,
they did. They went local. And it's good. It was good beer. It probably was not the best beer I've ever had, but it was definitely very good beer. Mm-hmm. So, really enjoyable.
Well, can I ask you guys a question? We all agree that we had a fantastic day at Universal Studios Orlando. Was there anything you were disappointed by?
Getting up at 5:30 in the morning.
But had we not done that?
I wasn't disappointed by being there at 7. I was just disappointed getting up at 5:30.
I wasn't disappointed, but I think that some things were a little pricier than what I'm used to. You know, maybe just a dollar or two more than what I would think. But no, you know, I really was more, I came away thinking I'm bringing my family back here because they're going to love this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have kids who are not thrill ride junkies. They don't care about roller coasters. My daughter will ride roller coasters, but she likes the kind of old school wooden ones, not the Pukorama dangling, you know, roller coasters. And but you know, a lot of their rides like Transformers and Simpsons and, you know, even Spider-Man and stuff like that are kind of more simulator type rides, mm-hmm. even though they have a bit of a thrill to them. So I think all my kids would actually really like them, even though for whatever reason, I don't know why my kids are not Harry Potter fans, but I think there's enough there otherwise that they would really like. They would love the Simpsons stuff. They would love the Minions. They would like all the Marvel stuff, you know, the Mummy stuff. They probably would really like all that too.
So I will say some of those simulators are pretty intense. I mean, I think that like the Simpsons especially, it's not one that if you are prone to motion sickness, if you don't like steel coasters, I don't know if you'd really like the Simpsons ride either. It's pretty intense. You disagree with me?
My one thing that I wouldn't say I'm disappointed with, but I think there is a lot of at Universal, are those motion simulators. It seems like a lot of the rides are that kind of way, whether it's the Spider-Man, the Simpsons, Transformers, and even to an extent the Minions experience. They're all the same sort of ride with the simulator, with the big screen. And it would, to me, I'm not knocking it, but it's just, you know, there's an awful lot of the same sort of ride. Yeah. Albeit with completely different experiences, but it's just, you know,
it's like a formula. Well, I'll say this though. I mean,
works. You are getting that experience.
It's like 4D kind of. Yeah. My that is what would make my kids like it though. So I think if you have kids or people in your party who aren't big thrill, because I'm telling you, no, not one single kid in my family is getting on one of those upside down roller coasters. And that Hulk one that goes like straight up in the air, it's not happening, you know. So,
well, that rushes it.
They're not going to do it, you know.
It's not for everyone.
I think Universal's thing though is to sort of immerse you in the movies, and you know what we were talking about with Diagon Alley, and of course I talk about it as walking into a book. I suppose Universal will probably look at it more or less walking into a movie, and the designers of the movies had a big role in creating Diagon Alley and even in Hogsmeade. But it wouldn't you, like Amy, as somebody who doesn't do thrill rides and likes to people watch and shop and whatever, how did you find that experience at Universal Studios?
So I'm listening to everybody, and my first thought is, when Amy asked about disappointment, you know, as someone who doesn't ride the rides, I don't like having to pay $144 to go into the park. Yeah. I wish there was some system for people like me who just don't ride the rides. I really enjoy the areas. I love Diagon Alley. I love the shops. And I buy things at the shops, but I don't ride the rides. That's my only disappointment. But as far as, there was plenty to do. I like to people watch, though. I'm fine on my own just with a drink and people watching. But I had so much fun walking around looking at all the details to everything and the shops. And now there's this new wand, I guess. Kids were all, even adults, all over the new wand. You can look at the ground and see what motion you're supposed to use and use it. And it does certain things to different windows and makes rainfall. It's really cool. It was fun.
Yeah, that was very cool.
It's funny to do for someone who doesn't ride rides, but I wish there was a price break. Oh, can I just say one more thing?
Sure.
Tip. I love food, and I don't love the food at Magic Kingdom. And I've never liked the food there. I dread going there knowing I have to eat a meal. But I love my lunch at the Cauldron in Diagon Alley. Mm-hmm. it was really good.
Did you have the fish and chips, too?
That's no, I had the chicken sandwich.
Okay.
I forget what it was called.
Yeah, they had some funny, what was like a toad in a hole?
Toad in a hole, yeah.
I thought that was a total Harry Potter thing. No. And apparently it's a thing. It's totally
nice
thing.
To have a Brit with you that you can ask, what is that? Is that a thing?
It's not a completely with sausages, but it's not a completely fictitious thing.
No. By meaning British, it's shepherd's pie or fish and chips. Shepherd's pie for dinner tonight. I like shepherd's pie.
And not only was now I can only get that Sweeney Todd line out of my head, the shepherd's pie with actual shepherd peppered on top or whatever it is. So you have the atmosphere of the Leaky Cauldron, which is very authentic, plus this food, which is actually really good and also very authentic. Is it not, Brit of our podcast?
I will say that the food was excellent, and I was not disappointed at all. They did use a lot of things that you wouldn't ordinarily see, even at some English pubs that are stateside.
Yeah, it was cool.
They were very bold in their menu. Yeah, I was impressed.
Yeah, and in fact, I wish they had had better pictures by the thing, because I kind of walked past the pictures and went straight up, because it wasn't that busy when we went. And then I didn't know what that toad in the hole was, you know?
I actually asked for opinions too, which, you know, it was interesting to hear them give opinions, because they were like, oh, I really like it, but it isn't as filling as this or this or this. And it was priced lower too. So they're like, the toad in the hole is more like a snack, whereas the chicken sandwich or the fish and chips or the stew, they're all more, you know, more.
I felt they were very honest. I also felt that the people who worked there were very proud of where they worked. And I think with a good reason too.
Yeah, I agree. Those people got in character. They were good. Mm-hmm. They were really good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the people who were dressed all in black in Nocturne Alley were quite scary and really had a serious effect on some people who weren't quite aware of their existence immediately over their shoulders.
Amy, nobody can see this, but Amy is nodding.
She's like, they were creepy.
Well, there were people actually saying, you know, there's a guy standing over there. Like, they, you know, they didn't know. It was really interesting, sort of a psychological experiment where people were like, don't pay any attention to that spooky guy in the corner of the road. Everybody knew he worked there, but he was still really creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and the different witches hats. And oh, it was just as cool. And even, like, window shopping was cool. Yeah. They did a good job. Ten for me. They did good.
I think they theme so well. And honestly, you know, we move out of Diagon Alley, we move into the Simpsons area, which was completely well themed. Mm-hmm. You walk right into the television show, down to the casting with bartenders who looked like they very easily could have been working at
Moe's. Yeah, the food truck with the tacos.
Yes, exactly.
And the donut.
Long boy donuts.
But then you move on to like the Transformers area. And as you're walking around that area, you can tell that you are in the world of Transformers. Right. And as soon as you step out of it, and then you move into Shrek and you're definitely in the Shrek.
It's very compartmentalized, like movie sets. Yes. Which is what they should be going for. I think they did. It was good. I'll be back.
And that's at the original Universal Studios and the Islands of Adventure. Of course, you've got a completely different theming with the world of Dr. Seuss and the younger crowd. You've got the Marble Islands with all the superheroes and the villains. You've got the Jurassic Park area, and then, of course, Hogsmeade in the very back.
So let me ask you guys this, when you talk about the Dr. Seuss thing. So a lot of people that I've talked to have made the comment that they really like Universal because of the thrill rides and stuff like that. And we kind of put off going there because my kids were young. So what do you think? Do you think it appeals to younger kids?
I've been there with a three-year-old. And while she couldn't ride many of the rides, she loved the theming. Mm-hmm. She loved seeing all the superhero characters who she knew from her older brother, watching television and movies. I mean, the Green Goblin just jumped out. She says, I want my picture taken with him. I said, you sure? I want to have my picture taken with him. And, you know, it's just the fact that she can tell that it's, you know, comic book-like, and it's, right. you know, sort of the bright colours and the features. But she enjoyed the Dr. Seuss part of the park as well. But to be honest, that was really about the only thing she could actually... go on as far as rides were concerned. But we still spent 2 full days there, and, you know, she still talks about everything she experienced, and she's now nearly 5.
Amy, what do you think?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I took Libby. So I took my daughter, my youngest daughter there, when she was 3 or 4, and she loves the face painting. Like, we did the face painting, and, yeah, Dr. Seuss was pretty much all she could ride there, but she enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a thing for sort of the tweens and up as far as ages, just to get the most out of it. Right. But I think it's definitely something for everybody, from the youngest crowd. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, if you're there with an infant, I think you might kind of be struggling a little bit. But as you say, that if people watching is your thing, there's definitely a lot going on from the landscaping. I was amazed as we walked from the Hard Rock Hotel to City Walk and to the entrance to Universal, just how beautifully manicured.
Yeah, there was a butterfly garden.
Mm-hmm. And the butterfly garden. Yeah.
Yeah, how awesome was that?
That was not what I was expecting to see. I mean, it was incredible.
Yeah, it was nice.
I think that gets overlooked a lot in Central Florida, actually, is a lot of those resorts. People say, well, I don't need a fancy resort because I'm going to be spending all my time in the parks. And we spent a lot of time in the parks, but we really enjoyed the resorts we stayed in as well. I think
I appreciated it.
I think it's really important that you be very comfortable. And like Amy was saying, that concierge level, you know, sometimes people wonder if it's really worth the extra money. It really was for us. And we hit the parks hard. I mean, we weren't messing around.
Yeah.
So
I lounged a few times, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. You could sit down at the pool and pay whatever for a beer, or you could go upstairs and how many did they give you to walk down to our room? They gave you like 4 or 5 at a time, you know?
Yep.
Not that you should do that, but you know.
But you were sharing with your friends,
can if you want.
Well, that's our show for this week. On behalf of Sandy, Amy, Andy, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we will see you next week. Gotta fly.